Good morning. And welcome to our service here at Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland. As Amos, our minister, is currently on annual leave in Dubai, it has fallen to Kirsten and myself, members of our worship team, to conduct today's service. To our congregation in church, any visitors in our midst, our fellow worshippers joining with us on Zoom, or those viewing a recording of this service at a later date from our church website, we extend a very warm welcome. It is good to have you worshipping with us, and we trust that you will find true friendship and fellowship, be it physical or virtual, in our midst this morning. Our weekly intimations are as printed in the order of service. However, I would like to draw your attention to an additional piece of furniture that has appeared within the church itself, and that is the display board by the column. I know some of you have already examined its contents. You may remember that as a Kirk session, we slightly changed our vision for the future and our mission statement. And this board effectively collates all that we are doing at the present time. It gives an indication of our mission and our outreach, and also the other activities that sit underneath and support those activities, be they within the local community, nationally within the United Kingdom, or globally with projects and connections overseas. This board will be removed in the coming weeks and replaced with a second that will show our continuing efforts within the mission field and new outreach initiatives. So something to have a look at and something to pick up on. After the service, those in church are welcome to continue with us in fellowship in the church hall over a tea and coffee. And on the grounds that I don't see too many children in church today, there may be the outside chance of a chocolate biscuit. In a moment of silence, let us prepare ourselves for worship, leaving behind the concerns of the past week, as we prepare to welcome and meet with our Lord God, to acknowledge the bounteous gifts he provides for us, to seek forgiveness for our shortcomings, to ask for his comfort and solace in our earthly predicaments, to learn more from his holy word, and sing praises to his glorious name.
As I light this candle, may its flame be a symbol of God's eternal presence in our lives, illuminating our path with divine wisdom and guiding us in the way of truth. May its brightness remind us of the light of Christ that shines within each and every one of us. And may its radiance pass unhindered at those who encounter in the days ahead. In his name we pray. Amen. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 119, verses 41 to 43. saved me according to your promise. Then I can answer those who insult me, because I trust in your word. Enable me to speak the truth at all times, because my hope is in your judgments. Let us join together in worship as we sing our first hymn, CH 4448, Lord, the light of your love is shining.
Lord, we come to your awesome presence from the shadows into your radiance. Let us therefore bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, creator of all, revealer of all that is true and holy, gather us in from far and near, in church or at home, as we welcome the friend, the stranger, and the seeker, those who have nothing to lose and those who have lost nothing, yet whose hands and hearts are empty. We have come to worship and honor your holy name, to remind ourselves that you have called us to set aside this sacred time, to rest in your presence, and to give thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness. Accept the praise of our lips and the thoughts in our hearts as we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit of God, hover over our lives. Make us your people into your church. May your word be the lamp to our path, leading us into a journey of service and sacrifice. Ready to serve without counting the cost. Lift our eyes to see beyond the mists of uncertainty. Make us impatient to embrace the vision in this place, sharing with others the path that leads to your coming kingdom. We long to be embraced by the strength that comes from you, our refuge. Free us from our burdens and our fears. Forgive us from our sins and hesitation to share your love through the touch of your grace and loving kindness. Bathe us in your truth and mercy that we may be guided by the Holy Spirit to follow your Son, in whose words we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now, do we have any children in church today? Excellent. Good to see you all. So how is everyone? Has it been a good week? The rains finally came, but we did enjoy the sunshine. Now, every Sunday, you disappear, and we are wondering what you get up to. So I thought the best way of finding out what you get up to is to have a little test. Well, no, it's a little game. And the game we are going to play is called True or Not True. And you will see there are some items displayed. So I'm going to show you some statements with some pictures, and I want you to decide if it's true or if it's untrue. But if it's true, I'd like each and every one of you to ring the bell. But if it's untrue, I'd like each and every one of you to blow the horn. Do you understand? So a bit of brain, a bit of memory, and then possibly a bit of action. Are you ready to start? Okay, let's have our first question. God created Adam and Elsie. Are you going to ring the bell or honk the horn? So you're saying that's false. What should the answer be? Adam and Eve, let's see. Yes, well done. Now, can we have the second slide, please? Joshua was swallowed up by a whale. Joshua was swallowed up by a whale. Okay. Oh, a difference of opinion. Well, let's have a look at the answer. Was it Joshua? No, it was Jonah. Began with the same letter, but slightly different. Okay, let's move on to the third slide. David defeated Goliath with his slingshot. True? True? I think we can say overwhelmingly true. Let's just check. Yes, that's correct. Let's move on to the next slide. Baby Moses was found floating in a basket. Okay, true. Well done. Excellent. Yes, that's true. Well, Sunday club leaders, how are they doing so far? Right, can we move on to the next one, please? Moses built the ark. Oh, another difference of opinion. Anyone make the final decision? Okay. Well, let's just have a look. Of course, was it Moses? No, of course, it was Noah. Noah built the ark. Now, let's move on to the next one. Jesus was born in a palace. Okay, so where was Jesus born? Yes? In a stable. Okay, on you come. Good for you. Jesus was born in, of course he was, he was born in a stable. And I think we may have one or two to continue with. Jesus died on a cross. Yes. Good. Jesus did indeed die on a cross. And that led us to the next one. Jesus rose from the tomb. They placed him in the tomb, but on the third day he rose. Is that true? Wow, overwhelmingly true. Indeed. So I think you've done really well. Do we have another question? Well, this is the ultimate one. True or false? This will test how truly truthful you are. So can we see the slide, please? Does your bedroom look like this? Okay, some mixed responses. And can we move on to the next slide, please? So, we've been looking at what we've been learning in Sunday Club. Why is it important to learn the truth and tell the truth?
Yeah.
Yes. If you tell a lot of lies, then one time you tell the truth, no one will believe you. Yes. That's right. It's important that, number one, we learn the truth, which obviously you have been learning in Sunday Club, and it's important that you tell the truth. You don't tell lies, even though it could be embarrassing or hurt you in some way. It is always best to tell the truth. Because sometimes if you tell a lie, you have to tell another lie and another lie and another lie, and you're getting further and further and further away from the truth. And that's no way to live. God's word that you're learning in Sunday Club is the source of truth. When we read our Bibles and obey God, then we are learning to walk in truth. Let us say a little prayer. Let's close our eyes. Lord God, you are the only reliable source of truth. Thank you for your love and guidance. Be with us this morning and throughout our lives as we continue to learn more about you and the truth you bring. Help us to always walk in the light of your word. Amen. And now we're going to sing from Mission Praise 664, "The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free." Thank you.
This morning's readings are both taken from the New Testament, and we start with Matthew 12, verses 30 to 37, which can be found on page 978 of the Pew Bibles. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man speaks good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. And the second reading is taken from Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 11, which again is on page 1176 of the Bible. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Amen. Thanks be to God for these readings of his holy word. We continue our service by singing hymn number 543, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness.
Thank you.
Earlier, the choir sang, "Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you have known its meaning through and through." Let us pray that the words on my tongue, the thoughts in our minds, and the meditations of our hearts are worthy unto you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. It is now some 10 months since the outcome of the July 2024 general election. However, accusations continue to flourish concerning the honesty and integrity of the behaviours exhibited by all parties within the House of Commons. They are perceived to be exhibiting conduct well below the standard expected for people in the privileged position of national leadership. Such dishonest and deceitful behaviours had brought down previous prime ministers, such as Tony Blair and Boris Johnson, and forced a whole host of other MPs to resign their position. The COVID and expenses scandal exposed a kind of wholesale wrongdoing previously unheard of in public office. And who can forget the floating duck house claimed on expenses by the former Tory MP, Sir Peter Vigors? The expenses scandal came in the wake of the financial crash, when belts were tightened and pain was felt across the entire country. It came in the years following the Iraq War, when many felt they had been sold lies by the government of the day, the claim of Iraq possessing weapons of mass destruction have since proven to be totally unfounded. The COVID scandal saw ministers saying one thing to the nation, constraining public movement and behaviour, whilst personally doing the very opposite in Downing Street. Scrutiny of such behaviours gives rise to the question, what traits make for an honest and truthful leader, especially when it comes to politics and positions of power? In our day-to-day life, we often find ourselves confronted with choices, and these choices significantly shape our lives for the future. In our day-to-day lives, we find choices that of individuals or movements that we can admire and are encouraged to follow. We're drawn to leaders with specific ideologies or opinions. And again, these can shape our very future. The waters are further muddied by the infestation of lies, propaganda, and fake news proliferating on the internet and within social media platforms, targeting organizations, political campaigns, and all aspects of personal and private life. And next, we have to prepare to defend against the potential onslaught of AI-generated disinformation. As Christians, in all our decision-making and actions, we thankfully have the ultimate leadership example to follow. One, our human frailty can only sadly aspire to emulate here on earth, namely our Lord Jesus Christ. For trying as hard as we can to follow in his footsteps, we continue to fall desperately short of his perfect example and our own targeted expectations. As Jesus was well aware when he advised his disciples, "Watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Thankfully, In our weakness and doubt, we have the opportunity to look to and to pray to him for guidance and deliverance, thereby evoking the promised response and support of the Holy Spirit. From John 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. So, what does Jesus have to teach us about how an honourable leader should behave? Jesus shows us wise, loving, servant-styled, and ultimately sacrificial leadership. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This approach is so radically different from all earthly leaders that it would seem foolish to even to try to compare them. Jesus' leadership is marked by truth, selflessness, and a commitment to serving others with a focus on the poor, the weak, the downtrodden, the marginalized, and the neglected members of our society. The washing of the disciples' feet ahead of the Last Supper reminds us of his humility and loving service. Does this sound like any leader or politician you might know? But before we consider our leaders, perhaps we should start by comparing ourselves, our own thoughts, actions, and indeed character traits. Do we live? Do we speak the truth? Do we act with compassion and forgiveness? Can we be like the leaders we want to see? Because no matter who our political leaders are, what matters most is who we allow to rule within our hearts. In that election race, we must wholeheartedly endorse Jesus, the only credible candidate worthy of being listed on any spiritual ballot paper. For above everything, we know Jesus speaks the truth. Remember from our first reading this morning, brought to us by Chris, when Jesus calls the Pharisees a brood of vipers. Ouch! Harsh words indeed. The Pharisees had great religious influence. Wouldn't it have been better to tone it down a bit? Not to be so confrontational, but Jesus speaks the truth without fear of any repercussion. He's concerned with sharing his message, not gaining political support. Whether or not it's to his advantage, and even if it means he'll lose supporters, he speaks honestly. Because the truth, undiluted, is ultimately what sets us free. Our attitude and adherence towards the truth determines the outcome of our lives. If we don't love and live the truth, if we resist it, we resist salvation. But if we do love and live the truth, then we embrace salvation and receive the promised crown of eternal life. You may remember Amos's sermon a couple of weeks ago, taken from John 14, where we found the disciples thoroughly confused, totally disorientated by the prospect of Jesus's imminent and unexpected departure, prompting Thomas to ask the question, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered with the sixth of the seven great I am declarations in John's Gospel. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I am. Jesus asserts his divine status, reflecting back to God's response to Moses in Exodus 3, verse 14, when stating, "I am who I am," affirming his omnipotence, his omnipresence, his supremacy and ubiquity in the past, the present, and the future. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In these words, Jesus was declaring he was the only guaranteed pathway to God and heaven. The truth, or the only true measure of righteousness, and the only means to secure fullness of life in his way. Truth is, however, far more than a moral guide, a set of restrictive rules and regulations to be obeyed to the letter, like the Pharisees, constrained by their countless decrees and protocols. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14, we read, "God's word is true, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us." After all, Jesus didn't say he would show the truth, or teach the truth, or even model the truth. There would be no treatise on the subject. He emphatically stated, "I am the truth." He is the truth. Truth personified. Christ, as the living word of God, is inseparable from the truth. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He's not only the embodiment of truth, but the ultimate reference point, in concert with his revealed word, for evaluating all truth claims. The standard by which all things are to be judged as either true or false. So the truth is the very life of Jesus, which as Christians is to be manifest and revealed in each and every one of us. As Paul declares in his letter to the Corinthians, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may be revealed within us. Truth is not just something we act upon, it acts upon us. We can't change the truth, but the truth can change us. It sanctifies us, setting us apart from the falsehoods woven into our sinful human nature. When we compare his life to our lives, we see how enormously different the two are. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3, verse 23. It is then that a spiritual awakening and awareness, shining like a light, becomes apparent within us, as we heard from Chris in our second reading. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. This light of righteousness and truth shines into the darkest corners of our lives and reveals what we are really like by nature. It reveals our flaws, our deficiencies, deceits, and lies, and shows us the way that we must walk in order to be transformed into the image of Christ. The way of righteousness and truth demands that we exhibit behaviors which are honest, virtuous, just, and upright. Behaviors identified by our bard, Robert Burns, in his poem, A Man's a Man for A' That. A prince can mak a belted knight, a marquis duke in a' that, but an honest man's aboon his might, gied faith he maunae for that. Here Burns reinforces the insignificance of rank, position, or birthright in determining true worth, emphasizing the divine nature of honesty and truthfulness, and its supremacy above all other attributes. The first step on this enlightened way of truth is taken when we accept Jesus into our lives. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus shines his light, and we acknowledge that we are sinners in need of forgiveness, atonement, and justification. This causes us to repent and seek reconciliation and be prepared to forgive and be reconciled with others. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 18. The next step he shows us is that even though we are forgiven, we still have sin in the flesh, and we have to acknowledge that we ourselves are powerless to overcome the temptations of sin that is so rooted in us as human beings. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. When we humble ourselves to acknowledge this truth, then the Holy Spirit can fill us, enlightening us, leading us, and giving us the strength and the power that we lack in ourselves, so that we can keep all that God, through his word, commands us. We can give up our own will and do his will instead. We can therefore secure a victory over the desires which lead to sin and untruthfulness. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. There is no greater blessing for a Christian than to walk in the truth, following Jesus Christ, learning from him, replicating his behavior, loving and living as he did, and being conformed into his image. Then we are in constant development, constant progress, continuous sanctification, continuous transformation into the image of Christ. It is possible for everyone to walk in the truth so that it can set us free from sin, both the consequences of it and its power over us. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God loves all of us and is rich enough for everyone who calls upon him. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will guide us in this ongoing process of being set free. And the more willing, obedient, and quick to acknowledge the truth we are, the quicker our progress will be. And for the Christian church today, this metaphor of Christ as the light extends beyond personal salvation to encompass his mission to the world. In John 9, verse 5, Jesus reiterates, "While I am in the world, I am the light of this world." His presence on earth brought divine truth and revelation, challenging the darkness of sin and falsehood. And so, our mission in Newport-on-Tay and the North Fife Cluster, should we choose to accept it, is not a mission impossible, but a mission achievable, as defined in Matthew 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We are compelled to share this light, to spread the good news, the light of Christ, through our lives, and therefore dispel the darkness of sin and falsehood. Let us all have the courage to willingly embrace all divine truth, fully confident that he, who in his love has shown us the truth about ourselves, will also free us and save us from everything he shows us. And let us pray that our current leaders, and indeed future leaders, have the strength to embrace and speak not only the truth, but to do so with love, compassion, and consideration for all, even when it might come at a cost to themselves, their manifesto, and their political party. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us the courage to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, to walk in his way, follow his truth, and realize his promised fullness of life in this world and the next. May our lifestyles, interactions, and conversations allow the light of your truth and loving grace to enfold all who we meet and engage with in the week ahead. Help us to be fair in all our dealings, to use our intellect and influence to seek justice and fairness. And may those who govern do so in truth, with love, compassion, and consideration for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again from Mission Praise, number 652, The Light of Christ.
Our prayers of intercession include a short response. To the words, "You are the one true God," our response is, "And we worship you." You are the one true God, and we worship you. Lord of life, we pray that the church may be alive with your risen life, refreshed and revived by the breath of your Spirit, purified and refined like gold and silver, so that we truly offer the possibility of saving love to the world. You are the one true God, and we worship you. Lord of life, we pray that in all meetings where important decisions are taken, hearts may be turned to honour what is just and true, compassionate and constructive. We pray that in all areas where there is corruption, deceit, or distrust, conscience may be satisfied afresh to know what is right and strive towards it. You are the one true God, and we worship you. Lord of life, we pray for the places which we inhabit. May they be places where the truth of your being is proclaimed daily in the way we live and handle everyday situations through your leading. May our words and actions speak of your faithful love, your graciousness, and your purity. You are the one true God, and we worship you. Lord of life, we pray for those who are ill or injured. Bring them comfort and assistance. For the elderly, the housebound, and the lonely, may their feet be fixed on the solid rock of your love. You are the one true God, and we worship you. Lord of life, we pray for those who are traveling that last journey of death. May they be surrounded by your love and welcomed into your heaven, and may those who mourn be comforted. You are the one true God, and we worship you. Lord of life, your love for us is so great, and our love for you so small. Wherever the beauty of creation reflects your love, may our hearts be lifted to you in thanks and praise. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we'll join together in the closing hymn from CH4 259, Beauty for Brokenness, Hope for Despair.
purity of his truth keep us from copying the behaviour and adopting the flawed values of this world. May the God of all truth transform us into new people by correcting the way we think and purifying the way we live. May we live as people of light. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon us now and remain with us forevermore.